Welcome, everyone. Oh, yes, you too. To our seminar series, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya. We're all the way up to lesson 8, so who's here for the first time? Most of you, maybe, for Janmashtami, yeah? Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's on behalf of the GBC committee, Srila Prabhupada's position, and the Mayapur Institute. My name is Sureswara Das, and I'm happy to be traveling around presenting this seminar to help ISKCON understand deeply Srila Prabhupada's unique transcendental position in ISKCON, as well as every follower's foundational relationship with him. So it's a whole 10-lesson series. We've already done 7 lessons. The Sambandha section has been done, the Abhideya, but not to worry, because actually each lesson can also stand on its own. So we're doing what I consider to be the most intense lesson of the series. Now, Mata's coloring, but how come baby's not coloring? Oh, got to give her a higher taste. Wait a minute, are you the mother? You're the mother, yeah. Okay. Well, is she going to color? Because she's going to get really bored. But if she's going to color, then that's fine. Then that works. Yeah, right? Okay, we'll try her out. So, to love is to cooperate. Srila Prabhupada's well-known desire that we cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village was more than a farewell request as he was preparing to leave this world. Most of you have probably heard of the farewell request. Have you heard of the farewell request? No? Well, you're going to hear it in the seminar then. Wow, okay. You really, seriously, how many have not heard of Prabhupada's farewell request? 1, 2, 3, 4. Have you heard? You know. You know the farewell request? You. Oh, wait a minute. We need translation too. How many people need translation? You need translation into Slovenian or? You need that? He needs. Okay, so Mataji, you wanna? We have the translation seats over here. You can sit. This Mataji is translate. Oh, Italian. Wow, this is the United Nations nightmare, right? Are you Italian? Okay. Well, it might be you. Probably more people are going to come. Yeah, maybe you can sit in the seats. Prabhu, maybe you can let him sit, because otherwise they won't be able to see the slides, because that seat's going to get blocked. Here's a nice seat over here next to Yure. Over there. There you go. See, the older we get, the less able our knees are, right? So, okay, so we have Italian going on. Anybody else need English help? Italian? Okay, into Italian. More Italian, yeah? Okay, so this is new. We were doing Slovenian, but in Lithuania I was doing, what was it, Russian, Lithuanian, and something else too, I forget. Anyway. Okay, so again, I'm just very curious, because this is so famous, but don't be shy. Just raise your hand if you say, you never heard of Prabhupada's farewell request. Raise your hand. Okay, wow. So this is really necessary. Well, but still, you would have heard of this. This is like famous Prabhupada's final request, right? Okay, well, let's just go into it. So he didn't just say, and it's a mystery to you too, because you don't know what it is, right? So it wasn't something Prabhupada said at the end. He was always saying this. This is the misconception people have. It was a theme he voiced continually during his 12 years of non-stop preaching around the globe. Yet in spite of Prabhupada's mandate that we work together, his request was that we cooperate. Because that's exactly what the Gaudiya Math people did not do, and that's why it fell apart. Cooperation can still be hard to find in the age of quarrel. This is the age of non-cooperation. Have you noticed that it's not easy to find cooperation? Where non-cooperation too often rules. In this key lesson on cooperation, we'll see up close why cooperation can be so elusive, hard to find, as well as what we can do to foster it. Now, you're right behind the pillar. You going to be able to see? Can you see? Well, we got a seat right here. Okay. This room is actually very challenging for this kind of a presentation. What to speak? I was standing right here. I was blocking even more. But now I'm sitting down. I'm cooperating, right? I'm trying to give you a better view. There you go. Okay, we need two chairs for this lady. All right. Okay, good. Now we have our sound expert in case something goes. Oh, we got two. Good. I already tested the cord, but... Okay, so to love is to cooperate. Raise your hand if you can tell us where Srila Prabhupada is there. Raise your hand.
I need to say San Francisco.
Yes, but is that on? Prabhuji, is this mic on? Can you? Okay, it's on.
San Francisco.
San Francisco, there's a famous park in San Francisco called Golden Gate Park. Beautiful park. Huge. It takes up a good chunk of San Francisco. So whenever they have Rath Yatra in San Francisco, this is where they go. This beautiful walk through the woods. Yeah. Okay, so this is 1974, famous Rath Yatra, where Prabhupada just got up and drove the devotees wild because he was dancing and pirouetting and he was, if you've seen the movies, the devotees are jumping out of their skins, you know, they're like, ah! Yeah. So, now, you don't know the people in the picture with Srila Prabhupada, but I can tell you, those people are very, they're all leaders, and they're very strong-minded, and they're used to being the leader in their place, so they're not used to, they're following, of course, but they're used to being the leader in their place. So, but they're all cooperating there on the cart because Srila Prabhupada is there and he's inspiring them to cooperate. Otherwise, you have some very strong-willed, strong-minded people. This image of Srila Prabhupada surrounded by a diversity of leaders is a reminder that devotion to our founder Acharya is the key to finding the unity we will need to survive the ravages of time and take Lord Chaitanya's mission to every town and village. Every town and village. That's a big order. That's what Lord Chaitanya ordered. Okay, so before we get into love is to cooperate, let's back up and talk about how just love in general means to serve. So this is Shruti Kirti Prabhu behind Srila Prabhupada. He put in more time in that position as Prabhupada's personal servant than anyone. Have you read Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book, What is the Difficulty? I highly recommend it. If you want to know Prabhupada up close and personal, read this book. I think it's in more than one language. I think it's in Russian. I don't know about Italian, but it's in English and Russian and other languages. It's a very intimate glimpse of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so Shruti Kirti was massaging Srila Prabhupada there at Bhaktivedanta Manor in 1973. And there's another godbrother, and Prabhupada appears to be enjoying a light moment. But we're going to tell you a little anecdote, a little story that Shruti Kirti tells from his book about another time and place when Shruti Kirti just joined Srila Prabhupada as his personal servant. And he had gone through one of these colossal airport scenes, which we could never do today because of security issues. But, you know, that's how most of us first saw Srila Prabhupada, at these amazing oceanic scenes, you know, where we just took over the airport, or at least the gate, and the people were stunned. And so devotees would just go wild. So they get, this is in Los Angeles, this particular incident. So Prabhupada and Shruti Kirti get back to the temple, and Shruti Kirti expresses to Prabhupada in his rooms that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I don't feel what the devotees are feeling. They're jumping up and down, crying, screaming. I don't feel that way. I feel bad. And then Shruti Kirti said, I hoped he would say something to relieve my mind. He remained silent. So Shruti Kirti set up Prabhupada's desk in his quarters, and he went to his room, and then Shruti Kirti heard the famous bell. Bell. So when you were Prabhupada's personal servant, you were on the bell 24 hours a day. Anytime Prabhupada could ring the bell. So Shruti Kirti runs in. He just joined the party. He was brand new. And so he looks up. Yes, Srila Prabhupada? And Shruti Kirti said he noticed when he looked at Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada had this deep look of concern on his face because of what Shruti Kirti had just said to him. I don't feel what the devotees are feeling for you, and I feel bad. So Prabhupada looked at him very concerned and said, so, do you like serving me? And Shruti Kirti said, oh yes, Srila Prabhupada, I like serving you very much. So, get the mic. Here, why don't you? You're going to have to be the mic person. You're writing them by the mic. Whoops, there it is.
So, you just do your service, he continued. That is all that is necessary. This is what love means, to do service.
Yeah, and then Prabhupada said, anybody can jump up and down and scream, but you're doing something. Now, it doesn't mean jumping up and down and chanting and dancing is not also service, but in this particular instant, Prabhupada wanted to assure Shruti Kirti that helping him was big service. In fact, if Shruti Kirti tried to go to Mangal Arati, he would be scolded, he would be chastised, because Prabhupada wanted him nearby in case he needed something. Your service is not to go to Mangal Arati, it's to be right ready if I need something. So, to love is to serve. But since everyone, starting with Krishna, lives in relationships, to go home, back to Godhead, we must learn how to serve cooperatively with the Lord's devotees. Because when we go back to Godhead, it's full of devotees. And we have to cooperate to serve Krishna. So we practice by doing that here. No, we say in English, no man is an island. No soul is an island either. We're not alone here. And Krishna's never alone. At least he's always playing a flute. And the gopis are jealous of the flute. Why?
Because the flute is touching his lips.
Yes, the flute's always tasting the nectar of Krishna's lotus lips. So there's jealousy even in the spiritual world. And we're going to come to that. Okay, so to love is to serve. At the same time, to serve cooperatively is the test of love. So now we're going to get into the famous farewell request. And many of you said you never heard of this, and I am totally stunned. I'm totally amazed. But that is a good reason of why we need the seminar. Because if you never heard of Prabhupada's farewell request, and it wasn't just a farewell request. It was what he was always saying. And basically, that is the message. Okay, here's the context. It's the last year of Srila Prabhupada's life on earth. What year was that? 1977. Okay? And Prabhupada, he's getting very weak. And so he's trying different things to get his health back. But basically his body is really wearing out because Prabhupada traveled around the world so many times to launch the Hare Krishna movement, and he basically worked himself quite literally to death for us, for the world, for everybody, so the Krishna consciousness movement would be all over the world. So he went to Rishikesh in May, in the foothills of the Himalayas. He was trying to get his health back with a good sun and Ganga and air in the Himalayas. It didn't work. There's pictures, there's movies. You see Prabhupada on a little boat in the Ganga. He's looking very thin, very pale. And so he says to the devotees, if the end is to come, then I must go to Vrindavan. So all the devotees are very sad, but they take him to Vrindavan. It's mid-May. They get to Vrindavan, and his Prabhupada's personal secretary for that last year was whom? Do you anybody know? His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the late Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, if you think that you don't have much more time on this earth, perhaps it is time for you to make a will. Prabhupada said, yes, the time has come to make a will. Because think about it, ISKCON's got a lot of assets. Temples, monies, devotees. And if a will is not made, then anybody can claim anything. Especially his family, right? His family members are still alive too. So Prabhupada said, yes, the time has come for a will. Call all the GBC. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj thinks, wow, that's going to be a big one. All the GBCs coming to Vrindavan, it's going to be expensive. Plus, if all the leaders leave their positions and come to Vrindavan to be with Prabhupada, what's going to happen to the service where they leave? It's probably going to go down because we say in English, when the cat's away, the mice will play. You have the same? You use the same image? Cat and mouse, okay. I'm sure every language has that. It's because it's human nature, right? When the boss goes and then the workers relax. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj feels duty-bound to say, Srila Prabhupada, are you sure you want all the leaders to come? All the GBCs? Now these are the people that Prabhupada's been grooming for 7 years to take over the management of ISKCON. Right? Because when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta left, he only said have it form a GBC in the last 24 hours of his life. Prabhupada was determined that what happened to his own Guru Maharaj's mission not happen to ISKCON. So 7 years before he left, and he didn't know when he was going to leave, but he did it 7 years before, he formed a governing body. And so he was training these people to take over the management. Not to replace him, but to at least manage the preaching. You never replace the founder Acharya. That's a big point in the whole seminar series. But you do cooperate to carry on the mission. Okay, so when Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, are you sure you want them all to come? It's going to be a big endeavor, etc. And then Prabhupada said, yes, they must come. He wants those men to be there to witness the gravity of the changing of the managerial guard. He wants them to experience the gravity of the moment. He's giving the management over to them because that was the first item in the will. The GBC is the ultimate managing authority. And so when Prabhupada is firm on that, then Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure they will all come. They love you so much. So Prabhupada, he gave a very grave response. And here it is. So, all right. Prabhupada, why don't you sit here? I need more people here to read. We got a lot of ladies. We need some more gents. Can you read English? Yeah, no, but I want you to sit here so it's not so... No, you don't have... There's a cushion for you. It's got your name on it, all right? Waiting right there. Magic carpet. There you go. All right, here, give it to him. I want you. All right. That's been up there. To serve cooperatively is the test of love. So when Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, they love you so much, I'm sure they'll come... Here's what Prabhupada said. Go ahead, read.
Your love for me, said Srila Prabhupada, will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together after I'm gone.
So Prabhupada responds very gravely, right? And you know what he said next? Not like Gaudiya Math. After Guru Maharaj left, so many acharyas came up. He meant imitation founder acharyas. We're all supposed to be acharyas, examples. But founder acharya is unique. So, not like Gaudiya Math. Okay, and then that was before the will. And then the will came, and then after he signed the will, he said something very similar.
Srila Prabhupada emphasized, your love for me will be tested how after my departure you maintain this institution. We have glamour and people are feeling our weight. This should be maintained.
What does Prabhupada mean by glamour? It sounds like Bollywood. Glamour? Glamour, usually you hear glamorous movie stars, right? What does Prabhupada mean there? We have glamour. Raise your hand. Tell us. You know?
I don't know that word, but like a style. We show them our style, Krishna conscious style.
Well, it's a little more weighty than style. Style is close to glamour. But anybody? Something a little more weighty, a little more significant.
Foundation?
Foundation, we have glamour, we have influence, prestige. We're not going away. We've been around now, 77, for 11 years. You can't just write us off as a fly-by-night movement who came and then they went. We have prestige. We have books. We have philosophy. We have, you know, culture. We have festival. You know, they gotta come to terms with us. So, determined that ISKCON not repeat the breakup of the Gaudiya mission after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance, Prabhupada warned his disciples to cooperate, perhaps most famously at the time of making his final will. Okay. So, here's some more quotes. He didn't just say this at the end in his last year. He was always telling us this, because he knew it was the non-cooperation of his godbrothers that broke up the Gaudiya mission. So here's an example of cooperation from as early as 1968, when the movement was only 2 years old. Prabhupada said in Seattle, when you do something in cooperation with the Lord, that is called bhakti. He defined bhakti as cooperation. Yeah. And here's another one from 1973. The test of our actual dedication and sincerity to serve the spiritual master will be in this mutual cooperative spirit to push on this movement and not make factions and deviate. This is the tendency, right? We see it in ISKCON's history. It's right here, right? I'm sure you have it here, too. As soon as I don't get my way, I want to make a new group, right? Because I didn't get my way. So I want to just make another group, and I end up competing with the temple, right? Anybody who does that doesn't know Prabhupada, doesn't know the founder Acharya. He wants us to work things through. He doesn't want us to break up into little factions. And you're going to see why more and more as this lesson goes on. And that's not easy, right? It's Kali Yuga. It's the age of my way or the highway, the age of quarrel, the age of hypocrisy, the age of factions, the age of disunity. Yeah. Enter into a Prabhupada dialectic. Have you heard of this phrase, dialectic? It's a Greek thing. Socrates had a dialectic. All men are mortal. Socrates is a man. Socrates is mortal. That's one kind of a dialectic. But usually a dialectic goes like this. Point, counterpoint, resolution. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And that's not easy to do. But this is what Prabhupada gave us, actually. Okay, so what's Prabhupada's point here? What's his thesis? Cooperate. Okay? But then there's a counterpoint, which he also mentioned. And here we go. You want to read? Okay. Read.
It's not.
No, you read that.
Oh. But don't expect utopia.
Now, raise your hand if you can. Do you know what utopia is? utopia. That's how we say it in America. You. We say it like you. Yeah, yeah. How do you say it in Slovenian? Ooh, yeah. It's a Greek. Comes from Greek. Who talked about utopia? Plato. Ooh, not topos, place, like topography. There's no place where what? What is utopia? Utopia mean? What is the utopia? There was a famous book too called Utopia by Sir Thomas More in the 1500s in England, based on Plato's, I think it was in the Republic. You know, what is utopia? Go ahead.
It's the ideal society.
Ideal, yeah, where everything's perfect. Plato was into the ideals. No, just keep it there. Ideals. So what does Krishna say about the material world? Does he say that you can have a utopia here? What does he say? What does he say? Tell us what he says. Dukalayam ashashvatam.
This is the place of misery.
Certified by the intelligent designer, by the creator. It's like if you read the you buy a product and you read the manual. This pack of cigarettes will kill you. Good luck. Right? This car will break in 5 years because we build them to break. Good luck. So similarly, the creator of this place says, Dukalayam Mishashvatam, look, you come here at your own risk. This place is temporary and miserable. This is what the designer, this is what the manufacturer said. So that means we must be mudhas because we came here anyway and we, oh, that's okay. Somehow I'll beat the rap. I'll be happy anyway. Okay, so don't expect utopia now. What else is going on in that image? There's Prabhupada very pointedly with the pointer finger of his left hand. Don't expect utopia. Now, why did I put the image under the words? What's that all about? What's going on? Raise your hand if you can tell us the Leela. Did you notice how we've been hearing Braj Leela? We heard Braj Leela from Dina Bandha Prabhu, and it was so, as one Mataji was saying, it was so sweet. Right? I mean, Dina Bandha, he was like sweetness personified, right? He was introducing us to the sweetness of Braj. And then we had Kadamba Khan Maharaj last night. He was talking Braj Leela too. What was he talking about? The demons, right? Because he's more of a, you know, if you know Kadamba Khan Maharaj, his history, he's an interesting Brahmin Kshatriya cross, you know. He's very learned, he's very brahminical, but he's also he's a fighter, right? Even when he's chanting, right? He sees, he's like a warrior chanting, you know. So anyway, so what's going on here? Raise your hand. You know. Okay.
This is Krishna and Balaram leaving Vrindavan, going to Mathura to fight with Kamsa.
Who's taking him out? Akrura. What does Akrura's name mean?
Not cruel.
Not cruel. What are the gopis saying to him?
You should be called cruel.
Yes. You're Akrura, not cruel, but we think you're very cruel. There's no way you're taking Krishna Balaram out of Vrindavan. We have this movement in America, it's called the Occupy Movement. Have you heard of these people? The Occupy Movement? These are the people who feel they've been left out of the American fantasy. They're not getting the American dream. So they just sit down and they occupy the space where government people are trying to do their work and business people are trying to do their work, and they say, nope, you're not doing your work because you left us out. We don't like this. We're not going to allow society to go on unless we're included. It's called the Occupy Movement. So I call the gopis the original occupiers. See? They're occupying the space in front of Akrura's horses. No way, we say in America, no way, Jose. Over our dead bodies, you're not taking Krishna Balaram out of Vrindavan. No way. But what's going on here? Akrura is a pure devotee of the Lord. Circumstantially, in the employ of Kamsa, sometimes that happens. Even you can be a pure devotee and be externally, it looks like, on the wrong side, like Bhishma and Drona, right? And Akrura, he's come to take Krishna and Balaram, to take him to Mathura, you know, for a Leela with Kamsa. So he's an agent of the Leela, actually. But the gopis, they're saying, no way. But they're all pure devotees. I thought pure devotees all got along. What's going on here? Don't expect utopia. Well, let's take a look at where Prabhupada said that. In a famous letter, here's what happened. It was 1972. One GBC wrote Srila Prabhupada to complain. You know, the devotees, and he meant especially his god brothers on the GBC, they're always fighting because, you know why, Srila Prabhupada? Because they're impersonalists. They're so insensitive and they treat each other so impersonally, therefore they're always fighting. Now, admittedly, there was a lot of problems, but Prabhupada, when he got this letter, he must have detected some pride, some false pride in his disciples' letter, because Prabhupada chose to write him a letter back which didn't accept what he was saying. And you're going to see how Prabhupada handled this. First of all, Prabhupada said this. Quote, "It is not so much that because there may be some faults in our God brothers and God sisters, or because there may be some mismanagement or lack of cooperation, that this is due to being impersonalists. No. It is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Even in the spiritual world, there is some fault and envy." I thought I was going to a place where there's no more. Right? Like Adamakan Maharaj said, they hear about Kamsa. Remember, they say in the, you know how Prabhupada put it? He said, there's no demons in the spiritual world, Prabhupada said, but there's rumors of demons to enhance the Leela, to make everything intense, you know, suspense. So Prabhupada said, even in the spiritual world, there is some fault and envy. Now Prabhupada explains, but is not the same as material fault or material envy. It is transcendental because it is all based on Krishna. Krishna is the center of that envy. And then Prabhupada gives an example. Sometimes when one gopi would serve Krishna very nicely, the others would say, oh, she has done so nicely. Now, let me do better for pleasing Krishna. That is envy, Prabhupada said. That's envy. But it is transcendental without malice. Raise your hand. Tell us what malice is. It's envy without malice. You can very easily define it in one word. Or two words.
It's when you want bad for others.
Yes. Instead of, like Prahladananda Swami said, hoping this meets you in good health, and then Prabhupada would sign his letter, you're ever well-wisher. It's the opposite of being a well-wisher. It's an ill-wisher. I wish that person would drop dead. You know, that's malice. That's malice. So when somebody pleases Krishna, there's envy, but it just inspires you to do something even nicer, right, for Krishna. That'll please Krishna even more. There's an ever-increasing competition to please Krishna. Here, there's an ever-increasing competition to cut everybody down so you can enjoy the most, right? Just the opposite. That is envy, but it is transcendental without malice. So, Prabhupada said, we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia, where everybody's always smiling and getting along. And I mean, it's not that Srimati Radharani and Chandravali are always getting along. You know Chandravali, she's a rival gopi. But they never disagree on who they're trying to please. Krishna, he's the focal point. They're just competing to please, to get Krishna's attention. Okay, but they're in different camps. We read that there's left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis, you know. It sounds like politics, right? But Krishna's the center of that politics. There's intrigue, there's suspense. To me, that's good news. Otherwise, if it's just, with all due respect to our Christian brothers and sisters, if it's just clouds and harps, that's nice, but maybe they should, can't there be more, you know? I mean, there's a lot of intensity in this material world, so it's just a pale reflection, as Kadamba Khan Maharaj was saying. There must be even better pizza, right, in the spiritual world. Comfortable snow. Okay, so we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia. Then Prabhupada says, that's impersonalism. If you think everybody's going to be the same and smiling and getting along, it's too bland. Now let's see what else Prabhupada said. Who wants to read? You want to read? Take the mic. Prabhuji, you, no. You looking behind you. Oh, you're right, you can read. All right, here's what else Prabhupada said.
People should not expect that even in the Krishna consciousness society there will be utopia, because devotees are persons, therefore there will always be some lacking. But the difference is that their lackings have become transcendental, because despite everything they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna.
Yeah. Their topmost intention is to serve Krishna. That much we have to trust. And here's how Prabhupada went on and really was trying to rub the point in really deep. Because, you know, Prabhupada could have granted his point that there's always fighting because, you know, they're not treating each other right. But Prabhupada wanted him to understand that he had issues too, because of the way he was pointing out these problems. Prabhupada said, quote, the devotees of Krishna are the most exalted persons on this planet. Better than kings, all of them. Wow. So we should always remember that. And like the bumblebee, always look for the nectar or the best qualities of a person. This is what our godbrother Jayananda Prabhu was famous for. He would always find the good in people. He would never see the bad. Always look for the nectar or the best qualities of a person. Not like the utopians who are like the flies who always go to the open source or find the faults in a person. And because they cannot find any utopia or because they cannot find anyone without faults, they want to become void, merge, nothing. They think that is utopia, to become void of personality. I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. I'm just quoting a 1960s American rock and roll song. But that's the response that very often people have to relationships in the material world. I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. That's kind of like Buddhism, right? It's kind of, we have such bad experience in this world that we want to just get rid of individuality, get rid of personality. But that's artificial. We're eternally persons, Krista says. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you. So we are persons, we may as well get good at it. You know, we've become compromised and crippled and perverted and weird. So let's get good at it. So here's Prabhupada. So, if there are sometimes slight disagreements, Prabhupada loved to use understatement, slight disagreements between devotees, it is not due to impersonalism, but it is because they are persons. That's the first challenge to us cooperating, is that we're individuals. We're going to see things differently. It's because we're people. And such disagreements should not be taken very seriously. The devotee is always pessimistic about the material world, but he is very optimistic about spiritual life. So in this way, you should consider that anyone engaged in Krishna's service is always the best person. That's what he wanted Maitreya Rishi Prabhu to understand. And he got it. He got the message. Okay, so if Prabhupada's thesis, what was Prabhupada's original point? Cooperate. Is that we cooperate. And his antithesis, his counterpoint, is not to expect utopia. Then what is Prabhupada's synthesis? What's his resolution? How do we get along? How do we do it? Well, it's something you've heard before. It's easier said than done. But it's something we have to try to pursue now in this seminar. Oh, there we go. You've heard of this, yeah? Find unity in diversity. Now, this came up, and Prabhupada did not invent this phrase, but it came up famously in a letter that Prabhupada wrote to another person who was reporting that there is fighting going on. There is dissension among the ranks. People are making factions. So Prabhupada wrote back. This is in 1973, the next year, another letter. Prabhupada wrote back, material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in this Kali Yuga. But for this Krishna consciousness movement, its success will depend on agreement, even though there are varieties of engagements. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. Once a godbrother said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, there is Maya in the temple. And Prabhupada said, that is not surprising. That is not unusual. What is surprising is that in Kali Yuga, is that there is a temple at all. So Prabhupada, he was always the positive thinker, right? Okay, so let's look at what else Srila Prabhupada said. You want to read? Or you want to? There you go. You can see there, it's all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The materialist, without being able to adjust the varieties and the disagreements, makes everything zero. They cannot come into agreement with varieties. But if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity.
Yeah, sometimes Prabhupada would give the example of throwing a rock in a pond, and if you were able to keep throwing more rocks and hit the same center, then the circles will be concentric and they won't clash. If you keep throwing rocks around, then they'll clash because there's no common center. And then here's when Prabhupada said something very famous in the next part of the letter, which the devotees were very dramatically reminded of this past Mayapur festival. Listen to this.
I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity.
Because in Mayapur, what do we have? We have this, everybody comes to Sridhar Mayapur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this from his porch, his veranda, back in the 1880s. He saw us all coming from all over the world, from China and South America, and Eastern Europe, and UK, and South Africa, everywhere. And it's the diversity is mind-boggling. Just here, have you been to Guru Puja for Prabhupada in Mayapur? You witnessed Guru Puja? You see all the different people of the world. They're coming to offer flowers to Prabhupada's lotus feet. But it's such a challenge for people to understand each other because we all bring such different, what's called prarabdha karma, different manifest karmic backgrounds. So to understand each other is not easy. Just like in India, when someone goes like this, what do they mean? Come here. Now in America, what do you think that means? Get out of here. So in 1967, when Prabhupada was on his balcony near the storefront temple on Frederick Street, Malati and Shamsundar looked up. Prabhupada appeared at his balcony, and Prabhupada went like this. And they started running away. They started running down the street. So Prabhupada had to shout, "No, come here, come here." And in America, when we, or maybe Slovenia too, when we want to say yes with our body, we go like this. Do you do that here? Okay. That's pretty, yeah. And when we say no, do you go like this? Yeah? You do. Okay. Now in India, if you ask somebody something, we get into the infinite neck. It's the infinity sign, right? They're making the infinity sign with their neck. Now, I don't know what it is, you know? It's like, is that yes? Is it no? Is it a definite maybe? Is it? And in India, when you want to communicate with someone, especially something sensitive or confidential, they tend to do it very subtly and indirectly. Being indirect is a virtue in India. Just like Prabhupada said, in Vedic culture, the mother teaches the daughter-in-law, say when they're of age, you know, the boy and the girl, and they go live at the boy's parents' house. First they go to the girl's house, and then that's what Dina Bunda was telling us this, right? And then they go to the boy's house, and then when they're fully trained, and then go live on their own. Or they might have an extended family. But anyway, so it's standard for the mother-in-law, you know, the mother of the boy and the mother-in-law of the girl, the bride, to teach the bride how to nicely serve her son by teaching the boy's, the groom's sister, by teaching the daughter. You teach the daughter-in-law by teaching the sister. So the mother-in-law, she will be, you know, instructing her daughter, and then the daughter-in-law should be alert enough to get the message, you know, to see how to do it. So that's very indirect. Now in America, at least, I don't know about here, but we like to be very direct, to the point of perhaps rudeness. But we think that's a virtue, you know, to be in your face. Like we have a presidential race going on in America, and one of the candidates, he just likes to be in everybody's face, you know. And it comes off so rude and crude in India when you're like that, when you're very direct. And it doesn't work. You know, like if somebody's being indirect with me, some Indian devotee, I'm sometimes thinking, why is he being so sneaky? Why doesn't he just reveal this? Why doesn't he just come out and say what he means? Just say what you mean and mean what you say. Because that's considered uncultured. And when I'm trying to be direct, they're thinking, what's with it with Sureshwar? He's so rude and crude. So it's really a cultural challenge in Mayapur, where it's all intensely, it's called a crucible, a point of pressure. Yeah. So you see that. So that's why, and Prabhupada knew that. Prabhupada made Mayapur, Sridhar Mayapur, the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the capital of ISKCON. So if we're going to continue for thousands of years, especially we have to get this in ISKCON's capital. Okay, so now we're going to look, we're going to try to see how we can find unity and diversity, because that's a big key to cooperation, finding our unity amidst our often wild diversity. How about this one? You're at a Sunday feast in the West, and the guy comes around with seconds in the pots. Or like tonight, you know, at midnight, if you're still awake, you know, they'll come around with an Ekadashi feast. Are they making an Ekadashi feast? They should. That's what we should do for Janmashtami. If the server says, would you like some seconds, Prabhu? In the West, we go, No thanks. And then he keeps moving. But in India, they assume you're being too humble to say you want seconds. So they'll come, you know, and then the person will go. And then if they do that to me, because I'm older now, I can't eat as much as I used to, I'll go, well, Prabhu, you're killing me. I can't do that. I can't eat like I used to, you know. But that's, you know. Yeah, there's so many differences. Gross and subtle. Okay, those are just funny examples. There's some heavier ones too. But let's just move on here. So unity and diversity may sound good in principle, but how do we find it in practice? Especially in the age of Kali, the age of disunity. This is the age of disunity. You know, people can be married for a long time or they can be friends for a long time, and then they'll have a quarrel and it's finished. You know, in 5 minutes, a relationship that could have gone on, you know, that was going on for 50 years. It's crazy. Okay, so let's look at, how do we do this? Find unity and diversity. Well, one thing I came up with, we can find unity in principles, timeless things, and diversity in how we apply those principles. Okay. There's Prabhupada on a walk. I always thought it was Germany, but it's Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was corrected by somebody who was there. And let's see here. So to pursue unity and diversity, we need to identify timeless universal principles whose applications will vary according to, remember the variables that I keep bringing up? How did Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness? I have this mantra. According to time, country, candidate. We say time, place, and circumstance. It's the same thing. Time, country, candidate. Prabhupada writes this in the Gita, and the CC, and other places too, in the Bhagavatam. Alright, so let's look at some favorite, I'm going to show you a couple of my favorite purports about this. How the way Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness, amazingly, It really varied according to time, country, candidate. Here's my favorite Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita quote. Yurei, you want to read?
The teacher, Acharya, has to consider time, candidate, and country. What is possible in one country may not be possible in another. The Acharya's duty is to accept the essence of devotional service. The essence of devotional service must be taken into consideration and not the outward paraphernalia.
And later on in the same purport, by the way, in the verse, Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Srila Rupa Goswami the difference between practical renunciation, what works, and dry renunciation, what doesn't work. Okay? Because Rupa Goswami, he later famously said, how does it start? Anyway, when one is not attached to anything material, but at the same time uses everything material in Krishna's service, then one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Because nothing's ultimately material. Everything belongs to Krishna, so everything should be used in his service. But that will depend on our purity. How much I can use in Krishna's service depends on how purely motivated I am. Okay, so let's look at Prabhupada says elsewhere in that same purport. It is not necessary that the rules and regulations followed in India be exactly the same as those in Europe, America, and other Western countries. We should not follow regulative principles without an effect. We follow rules not for the sake of rules, but so we can become more Krishna conscious. Nor should we fail to accept the regulative principles. If I just follow rules, if I become a devotee of rules, I never met a rule I didn't like. I'm developing love of rules. Then what's that called in Sanskrit? Do you know? There's a word for that. Niyamagraha with a long A. And then, nor should we fail to accept the regulative principles, but if we disregard the rules and regulations, then it's called niyamagraha. Same word, but one is long A, one is short A. Yeah. What is required is a special technique according to country, time, and candidate. Okay? So we have to be sensitive in our preaching to what the timing is of what we're about to say, of who we're saying it to, what the mental state, yeah, the country, oh, where we are, the surrounding culture, and the person. The person's mood. As Srila Prabhupada's life proved, that special technique he spoke of is revealed as we wholeheartedly surrender to the orders of Guru and Krishna. Let's look at another purport to try to make it clear. Okay, Yure?
One has to consider the particular time, country, and conveniences. What is convenient in India may not be convenient in the Western countries. If someone does go and preach, taking all risks and allowing all considerations for time and place, it might be that there are changes in the manner of worship, but that is not at all faulty according to Shastra.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is take a look at an example of how Prabhupada did adjust something very fundamental and basic. And let's see here. So to continue pursuing unity and diversity, which is really the key to cooperation, we must learn to tell the difference between principles and details, and also higher principles and lower principles, and the details of their applications. And trust that despite our differences, we're going to have differences. Why? Because we're all, what did we say before? We're all individuals. Yeah, individuals and individuals. I mean, that's such a relief. It's only Krishna who has infinite, his personality is infinite. Only Krishna can perfectly relate to all of his infinite parts and parcels. But even in a liberated state, because we're tiny, we're little, 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair, our capacity to relate is infinitesimal. So it's natural, even in a liberated state, we're going to be attracted to associate with certain people and keep a respectful distance from others, because we have a different bhav, a different mood. We can always be respectful, but it's natural that we're going to be attracted to certain people more than others. Okay, so let's look at on principles and details. Now here's the context for this. We're going to go to Shruti Kirti Prabhu again in his book. Have you read the book? What is the Difficulty? It's a great book. Please read it. Or please get it. Is it in the shop? Yeah? Have you seen it? No? It's worth getting. In the library. It's worth reading. It's worth selling. I mean, if you have English books in your shop, will people buy it? I mean, most people know English around here, right? I mean, at least, especially more and more of the young people, right? That's how it was in Lithuania, too. Okay, so Shruti Kirti reports in What is the Difficulty that he accompanied Prabhupada to Mayapur in 1972 for a very historic occasion. They had just gotten the first piece of property for the Mayapur project. And Prabhupada, in March 1972, this is before a lot of devotees went to India, but he still invited devotees, and he invited his godbrothers to celebrate the groundbreaking of ISKCON Mayapur. So, there's pictures of this too. Prabhupada way down in a pit, and he's got the Ananta Shesh, you know, he's installing Ananta Shesh in the ground, auspicious foundation, spiritual foundation for the project. So a lot of the godbrothers came. Now, Prabhupada, you know, he was doing, from 1966 on, he was doing what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had requested them all to do, which was what? Do you remember? Raise your hand. What did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta ask them all to do? Well, that's a little more. He asked Prabhupada specifically, he told him. But What did Srila Bhakti say? Go to the English-speaking countries and preach. Why? Why? What's wrong with India? I mean, India is where Krishna chooses to come. It's his neighborhood. It's a local call when you call Krishna from Vrindavan. It's a local call. There's a whole story about that. That's an anecdote. Because what's happening in the modern age? Still, it's still like this. People in the East, they copy the West. Right? That's where the Industrial Revolution first came in the Age of Discovery, and remember those slides? They're very, you know, technologically more advanced, though it's changing now. You know, at least in America, you call up for tech support for your computer, you're probably going to talk to somebody from Bangalore, right? So anyway, it is changing. But still, people from India and other parts of the world, they want a copy. They want to copy the Western technology, right? That's why Prabhupada brought his American disciples back to India. You want to copy Americans? Copy these Americans. They've had it. They're fed up with Western soul-killing, you know, culture. They're not satisfied. Copy them. Rediscover Krishna culture. So, Prabhupada, he was doing what they were all asked to do. And they appreciated that on some level. But they also had issues with the way Prabhupada was doing it. Which is kind of like a minor thing compared to what Prabhupada was doing. You know, Prabhupada would tell us, he would say, for all their criticism, you know, they haven't advanced Mahaprabhu's mission one inch. Sometimes he would say things like that. Okay, but he invited them to come. And a lot of them came. And on the one hand, they did appreciate that Prabhupada was turning international people, you know, Videshis, foreigners, into Vaishnavas. But they had issues. And the issue was, hey, Swami Maharaj, why are you letting your disciples call you Prabhupada? Because what did they think? The Prabhupada title was reserved for the likes of who? Whom? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Rupa Goswami, you know. Why are you doing that? So Prabhupada said, Brahmananda, get my stationery. So Brahmananda Swami brought a piece of Prabhupada's stationery, and the top it said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. No Prabhupada. See, I'm not calling myself Prabhupada, but I'm all they know. They wanted to call me something more than Swamiji. What could I do? So, they were kind of pacified, because they had a bigger issue with Prabhupada. You know what the bigger issue was? Besides the name? Swami Maharaj, why are you letting men and women serve together in the same centers? You're flouting a universal principle here. What was the principle? Raise your hand. Fire and butter. Who said? Okay. Fire and butter. Seventh canto, Narada Muni. Man is like butter in a pot, and a lady's like fire, and you put the butter pot too close to the fire, the butter's going to melt. That's true. It's a law of nature. You can't challenge it. You can't flout it. You can't deny it. So when they said that, do you know what Prabhupada replied? My dear God brothers, when I went to the West, do you know what I found? He found basically it was an animal civilization. He said, I found that from the very beginning of their lives, boys and girls, when they're little babies, they're freely associating, and then they go to school and they're freely associated. They're educated the same way. And then it just goes on and on and on. What am I supposed to do? deny half the human race access to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Because the centers, Prabhupada said, the centers that I'm establishing, they're like oases in a desert. Outside those oases, there's no support of spiritual culture. Like in India, at least there's a remnant. There's a sentiment for Vedic culture, still, despite the Bollywood influence and the high-tech influence. So Prabhupada was operating on a higher principle. What was that? Compassion. He wants to give everybody a chance to access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he knew that it was a risk for preaching. He knew that scandalous things had already happened. Scandalous things were happening. Scandalous things would happen. But he's not going to stop giving everybody a chance to access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he also had etiquette. It's not that there's etiquettes, right? We're not freely mixing here. We're together serving. But there's, you know, rules, etiquettes. So, that happened in the March of 72. Shruti Kirti continues to follow Prabhupada around the world. After that, April, May, June, July, August. And August, I'll tell you tonight, I'm going to share with you some... No, that's going to be tomorrow, Vyasa Puja. But I'm going to share you some Janmashtami Leela with Prabhupada tonight, I hope. We'll see how it goes. So by October, Shruti Kirti reports, he's with Prabhupada in the Philippines. You know where the Philippines is? In Pacific? Yeah. It's kind of like between India and Australia. Is that right? I forget myself. It's in the Pacific. Islands. So they're in the capital, Manila. We arrived in Manila, Shruti Kirti Prabhu writes, on October 11th. Just before lunch on the 12th, I was massaging Srila Prabhupada in his hotel room. While I was rubbing the mustard oil on his back, Srila Prabhupada said, now, this is 7 months after the whole thing in Mayapur with the God brothers, right? And the tensions and the... Prabhupada said. So this is just out of the blue, apropos of nothing. I just quote, my God brothers criticize me that I have allowed women to live in our temples. It's still on his mind, 7 months later. To live in our temples. I have allowed women to live in our temples. This is not done in India. But I have become successful because I made this adjustment. Whoa. Prabhupada's attributing his success to allowing men and women. To them it was a negative. To Prabhupada it was a positive. I have become successful because I made this adjustment. He then became quiet. And then Shruti Kirti Prabhu writes that when Prabhupada said that, I knew I had to ask a question. But I wanted to get the words right, so I was really thinking. So finally I said, okay, so who's going to read this? This is the $108,000 question. Prabhu, you want to read? Can you see the...
Prabhupada.
Was it on?
Prabhupada, how can we tell the difference between making an adjustment and changing a principle?
Ah, there it is. The $108,000 question. This is the source of most of our disagreements in ISKCON, right? Isn't it? What's something you can't tamper with? You don't mess with. You don't change. You don't fool with. And what is something you can adjust according to time, country, candidate? This is what most of our... I mean, just think about it. You know, this is from the local level to the regional level to the international level. This is what threatens us all the time. And that's why, and Prabhupada knew that. Therefore, he said, you got to come to Mayapur every year, all you people from your diverse prarabdha karmas, and you got to find unity in your diversity. You got to identify those things which are timeless, and you got to celebrate your diverse applications. You got to learn how to do that, honor that, respect it, celebrate it. Wow. We got a lot of work to do. Okay. So Shudakirti said this. And then Prabhupada gives an answer that's got to be the understatement of all time. Here it is. Are you ready, Prabhupada?
Prabhupada closed his eyes and I continued to rub his body. Finally, he opened his eyes and responded, that requires a little intelligence.
A little intelligence? My God. I mean, his own God brothers, whose adhikar, whose spiritual qualification is light years ahead of me, who was born and raised on, you know, the activities we promised to avoid, they didn't get it. A little intelligence? Wow. It takes a lot of intelligence, actually. And it takes collective intelligence. Yeah. Now, there was somebody in the room when Prabhupada said that, besides Shrutakirti. You know Burijan Prabhu? Yeah. He's one of our best educators. He's written Surrender Unto Me, Bhagavad Gita Study Guide, Unveiling His Lotus Feet, Bhagavatam Study Guide. There's more volumes coming of that. He also wrote a very nice memoir called My Glorious Master, which is his times with Prabhupada. So Burijan Prabhu happened to be in the room. And he made a comment on Prabhupada's comment in his book, My Glorious Master. So let's take a look at that.
To foolishly mistake an unadjustable principle for an adjustable detail will cause havoc in spiritual life. And to accept each detail as if it can never be adjusted is fanaticism. Fanaticism will cause havoc of a different nature.
Mm-hmm. So we can't be guilty of, we can't indulge in niyamagraha, just because Prabhupada did something a certain way at a certain time and place, and that's the way it's got to be forever in all times and places, because I like the way he did it there, right? That's my attachment, that's my thing. Oh, I was there, you know, in 1974, I was there in Denver, Colorado, and Prabhupada did it this way. Well, okay. But he didn't do it the same way. He was always adjusting the way he would do things. So that's fanaticism. Now, it's also bad when, we start tampering with timeless principles. I don't know if I mentioned this already in the seminar. Maybe I think I did, actually. But what did we talk about at one point? What did Prabhupada say his most important instruction was? Do you remember? It seems to be a detail, too. But did I bring this up? Maybe I didn't. Yes. Prabhupada, on the recordings you hear Prabhupada say, so I'm traveling all over the world and I'm simply requesting you to chant 16 rounds, please. And still you cannot do it. Yeah. So that was like rock bottom principle for Prabhupada. You know, 16 rounds for his initiate. You know, people who make vows like that. So, all right. So let's keep pursuing this. Unity in principle, diversity in application. Prabhupada, you know, this incident with the God Brothers happened in 72 March. Prabhupada directly wrote about that in a purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In 1974, 2 years later, Prabhupada sat down to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and very often, not very often, but sometimes in his purports, Prabhupada would weave in current events in the world and also in ISKCON, what was going on in ISKCON. And so in his commentary to Adi Leela, chapter 7, text 37, Prabhupada wrote, "An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness." This is an echo of Rupa Goswami. Yena tena prakarena, somehow or other, yena tena, somehow or other. The mind should be fixed on Krishna. Mana Krishna niveshayet sarve vidhi. All the rules and regulations, the prohibitions, the do's and the don'ts, should be etayore vakinkaraha. They should be maid servants of this principle of getting the mind fixed on Krishna. It was only after a few initiations at 26 Second Avenue, where Prabhupada, he'd mentioned the rules, but he stressed more the chanting. And then finally, when someone came to Swamiji after a few initiations, it said, "Swamiji, what was that about the rules again? You know, like, what are the rules to this club?" Prabhupada was so happy, because they were coming to him. He knew they would follow the disciplines of bhakti when they were ready. He stressed more the chanting. He stressed more in giving them a higher taste. Then they'd be able to give up the lower taste. So Prabhupada, the next day, he posted a notice. He put it in writing, the rules. You ever see this? I saw it here the last time I was in Ljubljana in 2012. Is it here? There it is. Okay. Can you get it down off the wall? Usually I have to try to remember them. Is it fixed? Is it? You can lift it up. You see, it's the left one. Yeah, it's that one. It's in Prabhupada's own handwriting. Finally, there was an initiation on his Vyasa Puja day. There was Radhastami, Govardhan Puja, and then finally in November 24th, the devotee asked that question. And November 25th, Prabhupada posted this notice on the bathroom door at 26 Second Avenue. And they all read it and they were like, "Huh." And they'd already been initiated. "All initiated devotees must attend morning and evening classes." You gotta get some consciousness. "Must not be addicted to any kind of intoxicants." Because they were trying to stay high forever, and now they were trying Hare Krishna. Right? So Prabhupada knew their motivations. "Including coffee, tea, and cigarettes. They are forbidden to have illicit sexual..." It just says sex. "Illicit sex connection. Must be strictly vegetarian. Shouldn't extensively mix with non-devotees." That means taking their habits, their association. Of course, for sharing Krishna, we want to meet people. "Should not eat foodstuff cooked by non-devotees. Should not waste time in idle talks, nor engage himself in frivolous sports." There was one bodybuilder that came around, or he was a real athletic guy, Raphael. And after a few weeks in the storefront, he said to Swamiji, "I'm not meant to sit in a temple and chant on beads. I'm meant to run on the beach and take big breaths of air like my father. He was a boxer." You know what Prabhupada said? "Then do it. Just do it. Do it. Go do it. That's what you got to do? Do it. But don't sit here and complain. That's what you know. You can still be a boxer and be a devotee too." "Should always chant and sing the Lord's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Acharya." He wasn't founder, he wouldn't he wasn't, you know. Remember, we did the whole thing: obscurity, Swamiji, only he, Prabhupada, founder Acharya. He wasn't laying this whole thing on them yet. They weren't quite ready for the whole thing. International Society for Krishna Consciousness, 26 Second Avenue. That was the International Society. New York, New York. November 25th. So that was Prabhupada. He's following Srila Rupa Goswami. Whoop. When you get old, your body cuts at a drop of a hat. I just touched my finger to the little... Never get old, Prabhupada. No fun. Okay. So Prabhupada writes this. First, they should become Krishna conscious. This is in a purport. And all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we follow this policy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, and Prabhupada gets right into it now, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits, Prabhupada's very generously calling our ways, our customs and habits, are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. So that's the test of whatever adjustment is made. It's got to bring people to Krishna consciousness. It can't keep them in material consciousness. You got to judge by the result. So telling higher principles from lower principles and adjustable details is best done in the company of like-minded devotees. This is big too. See, we're trying to drill down to find cooperation, finding unity and diversity. And now we're going to find out what like-minded devotees means. It's pretty challenging, actually. This is Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So let's... Oh, look at this. There's... Now, of course, Rupa Sanatana Goswamis, they're like-minded. They're intimate disciples of Lord Chaitanya. But in his own way, Bhakta George Hari's son, Prabhupada called... Oh, you're Hari's son. Prabhupada loved to play with words and names. George Harrison. George Hari's son. You know what George's first, the first thing he heard in the womb? This is far out. There was a biography written of George by my godbrother, Yogeshwara Prabhu, who just wrote the 50th anniversary biography of Prabhupada. It's called Swami in a Strange Land. Have you heard of this? It's another must read. You got to get this book, Swami in a Strange Land. It's great. I'm on my third reading. Anyway, so Yogeshwara wrote this book by George called Here Comes the Sun. That, you know that George song? It's about Krishna. Hey, Shyam Sundar, listen to this. I just wrote me a new song. And he started singing the lyrics. You know, I feel the ice is slowly melting. It was about Krishna coming into his life as the Beatles were breaking up, right? So... So in the womb, it was a very difficult pregnancy because Yogeshwara talked to George's sister, who's still living, and her name is Louise. And Louise said that when my mother, whose name was also Louise, was pregnant with George, it was a very difficult pregnancy. So a friend of my mother's bought Louise a gift, and it was the only thing that would pacify George in the womb. He must have been in the seventh month, because that's when the child wakes up in the womb. You know what it was? It was a long playing record, one of these 33 and a third. You ever see these big long playing? What's the devotee that has the Prabhupada memorabilia? He just showed me. Who collects Prabhupada memorabilia? Maybe he hasn't shown you yet. He's got all these artifacts from Prabhupada. Anyway, there was a long playing record. It was one of these giant records that we own, a record player. And it was a record of Indian ragas that some British lady in 1942 bought for George's mother. And as soon as the ragas were on, George would be pacified. Past life. Yeah. Okay. So associate with Latin. So George, in his own way, you know, when he finally met the devotees, because he bought the album Prabhupada recorded in 66 December, he bought 200 copies and he was distributing it to his friends. But it wasn't until 69 he met the devotees, met Shamsundar first, and there's Shamsundar shaved up. There's Mukunda, we know as Mukunda Maharaj now, Mukunda Das Adhikari, Guru Das, Jamuna's late husband, Dhananjaya Prabhu, the first Scottish devotee. Prabhupada said, "Oh, you're from Scotland? I was educated by Scottish fathers," Prabhupada told him, because Prabhupada went to Scottish Churches College. Anyway, in his own way, George was also associating with like-minded people. He wasn't satisfied with his rock and roll life. He wanted to know the truth, so he was associating with the devotees. But now we're going to see Rupa Goswami, how Srila Rupa Goswami defined like-minded. It's very challenging. You might think it means, oh, people who like the same stuff, you know, we like to hang out, and you know, just superficial like-minded. But here's what Rupa meant by like-minded. All right? I'm going to read. Where's the mic? Just read.
Associate with like-minded devotees. One must associate with like-minded Vaishnavas who are pure, more elevated and realized.
Yes. Rupa Goswami, he wants to get us out of our comfort zones into our stretch zones. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to just hang out with people who are on our level all the time, and we're always circling our attachments and aversions. Jai Shishi Pantatattva. He wants us to grow. So one time, I was in Los Angeles. It was Prabhupada's last visit to Los Angeles, 1976, June. We didn't know it was his last visit, but it was. And Prabhupada was there for 10 whole days. A lot of heavy things happened. Always, because Prabhupada was always, you know, challenging us. He would always turn everything upside down, you know. So after about a week, I said to my roommate, my BBT roommate, Devamrita Brahmachari, who now is... Does Devamrita Maharaj come here? No? Okay. So he's really amazing. Preacher and writer and... Yeah. So he was the proofreader at the BBT, and I was the indexer. He would proofread the edited copy of what Prabhupada was dictating to make sure it was all Pukka English. And then I'd make the index in the back of the book. So I said after a week, Prabhupada, he was there for 10 days. So after a week I said, "Hey, Devam, Prabhupada's been here a whole week. Isn't it great? I don't know how much longer I can take it." Doesn't that sound strange? "Isn't it great? Prabhupada's been here a whole week. I don't know how much longer I can take it." What did I mean? Raise your hand. It might sound like a contradiction, but what did it? Okay, here, give it to Manaji.
I speculate that you got so much mercy, so much ecstasy, so much love, so much everything positive. It was too much for... digest, probably.
That's a nice way to hear that. But unfortunately, I wasn't that advanced. Yeah, you're right. That's half of it. Isn't it great? That's the "isn't it great" part. But what did I mean? I don't know how much longer I can take it. What's that all about?
It's intense.
Yes. I wasn't living in Prabhupada's quarters. I wasn't on the bell. Hari Shari was on the bell then. But just because I was living in the same neighborhood as Prabhupada. All of us were. Prabhupada was visiting. So when Prabhupada would visit, you just were compelled, you were forced to live at a pitch of Krishna consciousness that your false ego wasn't used to. Where really, 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 24 hours a day, it was really, really Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. There was no room for any gross or subtle maya. So, it's kind of like a hot, sweet chutney, you know, too hot to bear, too sweet to resist. So Rupa Goswami, he wants us to associate with, he challenges us to associate with advanced devotees who naturally will help us give up our lower self and tap into our higher self, our natural Krishna consciousness. A god brother once said to Prabhupada, how do I become a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, well, how do you become a drunkard? You associate with drunks, and they will teach you how to be first-class drunkard. Similarly, we're creatures of our association. We say in English, a man is known by the company he keeps. Right? If you want to know me, look at who my friends are. Right? Then you'll know who I am. So Rupa Goswami is challenging us to associate with advanced devotees. And one symptom for our purposes here in this lesson on cooperation, that really, one Vaishnav quality that really enhances, enables cooperation is humility. It's so hard to be humble in Kali Yuga because we say in America, the pauper is proud of his penny. Even if I'm a bum on the street, a drunk on the street, I'm going to tell everybody what I think, right? My opinion means something. Yeah, the president should do that. Yeah, right. So the humility of the Vaishnavs enables their cooperation. This is the jewel quality of the Vaishnavs. It's the quality that we should wear around our neck. It says in CC, what's that Shikshastik, the verse we should wear around our neck when we chant? Trinadapi, right? Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. Yeah, that's the only way we can really attract Krishna's attention, by uncovering that humility. Sometimes we ask, well, how can I be humble? Just by waking up. We're in a very humble position. 1/10,000th the tip of a hair? I mean, that's pretty small. That's tiny. That's very big. But now I have this big false ego blown up around the soul, right? I think I'm so great, right? That's the disease, especially in Kali Yuga. So we're going to take a look. This is Lord Chaitanya instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami, many chapters in Madhya Lila, CC. And at one point in his teaching to Sanatana, Lord Chaitanya, he just sort of paused to marvel at his saintly disciple, Sanatana Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya said this. So let's, who would like to read? Where's the mic? Let's give a chance. Somebody back here? Anybody read in the back? You want to read? Who likes to read? Can you see?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see if it's long enough. Okay, here's what Lord Chaitanya said.
Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness.
Strictness. What does that mean? Lord Chaitanya is saying, look, Sanatana, I know you know all this that I'm teaching you, but you're asking questions anyway for the sake of strictness. What does it mean, strictness? Anybody know? Raise your hand. Strictness. What are the four words that block learning? I already know that. As long as I think like that, I can't learn anything. Nobody can tell me anything because I already know. I know it all. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I know I'm not this body. Ooh. What does it mean, strictness? I thought I had a taker there. Strict and never presuming he knows everything. Right? I mean, even the most basic stuff. If somebody's really sincere and serious and they're giving class, we really want to listen to that person because that person's really living it, you know? Even if they're giving a very simple class, everything they're saying is full of meaning because we know that person realizes what he's saying. Strict in never presuming he knows everything. Strict in remembering his absolute tininess. The humble Vaishnava is always glad to hear deeper and deeper realizations from serious and sincere devotees, whatever their stage of advancement, about the Lord and his devotional service. Now, Prabhupada didn't purport that verse. He just translated. But luckily for us, when Prabhupada visited New York City in 1976, he was lecturing on this section. And he did say, he gave an oral purport to this. And we're going to see what he said now. Okay, you wanna try?
A sadhu, a saintly person, although he knows everything, still he remains very humble and tries to confirm from the higher authorities. I think this is right. Is it not right? He knows it is all right, but still, he waits for the higher authority to confirm it. So this is the relationship. Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, study all of them very nicely and be advanced in Krishna consciousness.
This is what we do, you know, like when a Maharaj, like a Dambakan Maharaj comes or Dina Bandhu Prabhu comes, we ask him our questions, right? They say, any questions? And then we ask him our favorite question. Don't we all do that? We all have our issues, our favorite questions. Well, just to see what they say. It's because we've heard answers, so we have some ideas. But we want some confirmation. We want some deeper understanding. So we always ask the advanced devotees the same questions. They never seem to go away. We all seem to have our issues, right? Now, yeah, Prabhupada's saying, study this, Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. But can't you hear your mind? No? The mind says, okay, Sanatana, he's confirming it with Lord Chaitanya, the ultimate authority, the avatari, the source of all avatars. But, I mean, I gotta confirm it with so-and-so Mataji and so-and-so Prabhuji. Come on, I know better than them. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 46 years. I'm still falling asleep. So if I think like that, that's going to block me. Do you remember the story in Mahabharata of Dronacharya? Dronacharya, he ended up fighting on the side of the Kurus. And so Bhishma too, Mahajan Bhishma, just circumstantially, although they're great devotees. Dronacharya, he was destined to be the martial arts guru of the Kurus and the Pandavas. Do you remember that? He taught those budding Kshatriyas, those up-and-coming Kshatriyas, how to use all the weapons and all the moves, right? And all the mantras and the mudras and all these things. So, but when he was considering taking on this service, he wanted to test these people. So he knew that there was even though they were the same general family, there was this Kuru Pandava split, right? So on one fine day, an Ekadashi day actually, he called for Yudhisthira and Duryodhana. You may remember the incident from the Mahabharata. And he said, Yudhisthira, I want you to go out today from the ashram and I want you to bring back someone. Don't come home. Don't come to the ashram unless and until you bring back someone who's less than you. Less than you. And Duryodhana, I want you to go out and you don't come back unless and until you bring back someone greater than you. And it says in the Mahabharata that as soon as Duryodhana got his assignment, his mind started complaining. Oh, Yudhisthira's got the easy one. I mean, it would be so easy to find someone less than me. How in the world am I any going to find anybody greater than me? So they go out, right? And time passes, and morning turns into afternoon turns into twilight. Duryodhana comes back first, empty-handed. Guru Maharaj, I'm so sorry. I couldn't find anybody greater than me. How can I ever do that? It's impossible. I don't know what Drona thought, but that must have been an eye-opener to hear his prospective disciple say that. Okay, twilight, sundown, dusk. Dusk means sun is set, but there's still light from the just set sun, you know, before it gets really dark. Yudhisthira comes staggering back. Guru Maharaj, I thought I found somebody less than me. He had grains, and it's ekadasi. I thought he was going to eat it, but he fed it to his animal. I'm sorry, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't find anybody less than me. So if I think I can't learn from anybody, who am I more like, right? I'm like Duryodhana. We have to exorcise, we have to dispel, get rid of that inner Duryodhana and more manifest our inner Yudhisthira. Yeah, like that. So to end the lesson, what we do is we give the last word to Srila Prabhupada. Audio, let's see if it's set up. It was, but I don't know now. Here's the situation. It's 1976, it's Mayapur, and the most famous American book distributor party of the day, all the 100 brahmacharis and the old Radha Damodar bus and van book distribution party, they all came to Mayapur, and Prabhupada chose to speak to them about cooperation. It's very powerful. And unfortunately, on the recording there's an annoying buzz, but you'll see the words too. So forgive the buzz. Prabhupada's speaking very slowly, very deliberately, but he really drives home the point that to love is to cooperate. There's Prabhupada in Mayapur. There's a young Yadubar. There's the late Brahmananda Swami. And this looks like a back profile of a sannyasi Pancha Dravida Maharaj. Okay, so look at Prabhupada. He's speaking. This is a morning walk. Prabhupada knew how to use his hands. It's called mudras. He knew how to use speaking mudras too. He knew how to make points, make more potent the points with his hand gestures. You know, body language is big too. Okay, so here's Prabhupada, to love us to cooperate. And he's speaking to the Radha Damodara Brahmacharis in his room in the Lotus Building in March 1976. Yes, seatbelts fastened, what with tray tables in their upright position, cell phones in the off position. Thank you for choosing Goloka Airways. Okay, here's Prabhupada.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is God himself, Krishna himself. He felt alone, unable to do this task. So, this is the position. You are cooperating, therefore I am getting the credit. Otherwise, alone, what could I do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself wanted our cooperation. He is God, Krishna. Therefore, cooperation is very important. Nobody thinks that I have got so great ability. I can do it. No. It is simply by cooperation you can do very big things. United we stand, divided we fall. Sankirtan means many men combined, they chant. That is Sankirtan. Otherwise Kirtan. Sankirtan means many. Many combined together. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. What a brilliant analogy. Huh? Lord Chaitanya is God. He can do anything. But he's saying, I've got all these fruits of love of God to distribute. I can't do it all myself. Here, please help me. He's trying to give us a chance to assist him and please him. He could do it. He could do anything. But Prabhupada's saying, Lord Chaitanya, he's begging our cooperation to distribute his mercy, especially in the shape of books, the holy names, prasadam. Those are the three astras, the weapons. Okay, that is the lesson. By the end of the lesson, students will be able to explain why love means to cooperate, to work together in devotional service. Explain why serving Krishna is not utopia. Don't expect that it's going to be easy to work through our differences. But we should be able to explain, at least theoretically, how to find unity in diversity. Explain what it means to associate with like-minded devotees. Describe the quality of like-minded devotees that most enables their cooperation to serve and please the Lord. Jai. As we speak, I don't know when the next lesson is, but we'll find out. So, transition. This is one of my favorites. Before we look at different ways to access and develop our individual loving relationship with Srila Prabhupada, in the next lesson, which may be as early as Sunday, but it's not tomorrow, and it's not Saturday, it might be Sunday. Before we look at different ways to access and develop our individual loving relationship with Srila Prabhupada, in the next lesson we'll identify and dispel, we'll get rid of, some unconscious misconceptions we may have about him. I call it fictional Prabhupadas. It's an exorcism. You know what an exorcism is? You cast out ghosts and devils and demons. So we may have some sentimental and impersonal. That's what we look at. Sentimental and impersonal misconceptions about Prabhupada. So we identify those and we get rid of them. Okay, I'm going to stop speaking. Before I let you back to your japa or your service while we fast. Feasting on the holy names. If anybody has any questions or comments, please raise your hand and we have a mic. Where is the mic? Okay. Any questions about the lesson? Easier said than done, huh? Cooperating. Don't be afraid. We're among friends. And remember, you don't ask me after the class. You ask me now. Usually people want to ask after because they're afraid. I didn't want to say this in front of the devotees, Prabhu, but... No. Do it now. It's for everybody's benefit. No questions. Okay. It must be so challenging you're speechless. Yeah, somebody has a... Okay. This is one of the brave... I've noticed this lady is very brave.
Bold question. So about advancing with... associating with advanced devotees, does that mean that we serve them or can we also be friends?
Does it mean what?
That we serve advanced devotees, just to serve them, or can we also... be friends with them?
Yeah, it depends. But that's Rupa Goswami, a nectar of instruction, right? We respect anybody who chants the holy name. How does that go? I forget the verse. Text 5 or... You know the verse? We respect anybody who chants Hare Krishna. We befriend those who are kind of like peers. And we serve those who are more advanced. Radhanath Maharaj has a formula for himself. He tries to associate not as much with people who are always falling at his feet, you know, like his friends, his disciples, excuse me, his disciples. And he tries to associate with God brothers a lot. Because it's in peer association where a lot of the anarthas come out. Because what do we do when we get together among our friends? we kind of sometimes, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. We kind of show off sometimes, you know. And then, but if you're serious and sincere, and then you hear yourself talk like that, you immediately become embarrassed. Because it's embarrassing to make yourself the center, right? And then we really make advancement the more we serve people who are obviously, you know, very dear to Prabhupada and Krishna, and they're very, because they do amazing things. They're very empowered because they're very surrendered. So it's a kind of a, I forget his formula. He has a formula. It's kind of like 20% for his disciples and 60% for God brothers and 20% for other people he wants to serve. And anyway, something like that. I forgot your question. Oh, yeah. Can we make friends? Yeah, well, that's up. Just like Prabhupada, he was our spiritual master. He is our foundational spiritual master. But he had different relationships with different devotees. Harishariprabhu, who served in that capacity of a personal servant, who had an opportunity to have, you know, that kind of association. He was, one strength of Harishariprabhu's was that he was a real good servant, and he knew how to relax too in Prabhupada's association, because Prabhupada would like that. He would like when the servant could be relaxed and let Prabhupada just, you know, be in a relaxed mood and talk freely. But Harishari, there was a line too. There was a line too. Oh, what's the example he gave once? He was with Prabhupada in Fiji. And Prabhupada wasn't in good health. And I think it was 76. And the people in Fiji had planned out a really intense schedule for Prabhupada. Traveling around the Fijian islands, you know, and this and that. And Harishari, you know, he went to these people who made this schedule. He said, no way, you're not going to let Prabhupada, you're not going to do this. Prabhupada is not in good health. And then they went to, unbeknownst to Harishari, they went to Prabhupada to complain about Harishari, saying that Prabhupada couldn't go to all these engagements. So then Prabhupada called in Harishari to say, why have you said like this? That I can't go here and I can't, that's why I'm here. I'm here to serve the devotees. But Prabhupada, your health is not so good. And then Prabhupada said, no, I need to go on these engagements. And then Harishari kept objecting in the mood of protecting Prabhupada. But then Prabhupada finally said, enough. He let Harishari do that to a point because he knew that Harishari was trying to... But then when Harishari, he kind of crossed the line, you know, where he was contradicting Prabhupada's will. So then Harishari backed off. He knew that he'd gone too far. There's another incident too, actually. This is a little different point, but Harishari Prabhu had heard that Srila Prabhupada had Rupa Goswami's darshan at Radha Damodar. You know, pretty far out. He heard it from Harikesh. So Harishari thought, wow. Sometimes Prabhupada reminisces about living at Radha Damodar temple. So when the appropriate time comes, you know, it's very sensitive stuff, you know, esoteric, intimate stuff. He knew he couldn't just ask Prabhupada. So he was going to wait for the right time. So sure enough, at the Bhaktivedanta Manor one time, Prabhupada starts talking about living at his days living at Radha Damodar temple in a very relaxed, you know, it was reminiscing, you know. Prabhupada would talk about India and his childhood and Radha Damodar, and so Harishari said he started thinking, ah, Prabhupada's talking about Radha Damodar. So at just the right moment, he thought, he said, Srila Prabhupada, I've heard that while you were living at Radha Damodar temple, you had a visitation from Srila Rupa Goswami. And he said, as soon as he said that, Prabhupada's mood changed. He became very withdrawn and not relaxed and expansive like he was. And all Prabhupada said was, oh, everyone knows that. He didn't deny it, but he didn't want to talk about it. It was too confidential. It was too intimate. So we can be as friendly with the advanced Vaishnavas as they allow us to be. Right? We certainly shouldn't push ourselves on them. We should want to serve them. And we should be sensitive to know, you know, when we're being helpful and when we're not being helpful. Yeah. Okay. Any other? It says definitely, the last two lessons, 9 and 10, they're very valuable lessons, but this is the most intense lesson. But that intensity, I think it depends on how many questions the devotees ask. Because I was just presenting things. I wasn't necessarily following up with how to do it, right? It's like unity and diversity, right? So, what was the first, what did I say? How do we find our unity? In what?
In having common goal.
Well, in principle, I said in principles, in agreeing on what are timeless principles. That's how we can be united. Okay. But it's really not easy to know what's timeless and what's relative. What are adjustable details? Oh, Srila Prabhupada, yeah, he was with us 40 years ago, you know, so he had the four regulative principles. Oh, I think I might have said this before. But it's the new millennium, Prabhus, so hey, how about three regulative principles? How about no meat, fish, or eggs? Boss. That's it. That's all the new millennium can handle. Oh, yeah. Be real careful before you start adjusting things like the regulative principles. Yeah. Okay. I guess that's it. I think you want to get back to your japa. So we'll let you know when the next lesson is. Those of you who especially live here. But we'll break there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.